You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
It's another Saturday morning here across the vast Civic Media sports empire. I'm Jimmy Kuska. Welcome in. It is Make the Call, our roundtable show where we cover all things sports here across the great state of Wisconsin and sometimes beyond. And today's roundtable is the injured reserve edition. That's because everybody in sports is hurt right now, and that also extends itself to broadcasters. So we are going to start by going to the state's capital city, and that is Madison, Wisconsin, where Parker Olson is hanging out. Parker, what hurts today, man? We're all injured.
My knees have been aching lately, and I played a lot of tennis on hard court, so that might have messed them up, but I'm too young for this. I'm really mad about this.
Tennis is a sport that left me long, long ago. Conrad, in Green Bay, we go to Titletown. Conrad, what has you on the IL this week?
Well, I mean, my knees as well. Every time I stand up, they crack. I think I'm only 26, but I feel older than that.
And that takes us to the Northwoods, a week out from deer hunting season. Gray Gunderson hanging out at Park Falls. Gray, what has you on the IR?
Seasonal affective disorder, Jimmy. Thank you for asking.
Mental health and physical health, equal importance. I'm Jimmy Kuska. What's got me on the IR today? I stepped on a Lego about 15 minutes ago on my way to the studio here in my home office. So that is the most painful injury that any one human being can suffer. We are on to our top seven at seven. So what this is, if you're joining us for Make the Call for the first time, our top seven at seven is the top seven sports stories as we see it, and we do it at 7 a.m., hence 7 at 7. The most important story usually leads this thing off. And number seven in our top seven at seven, Matt LaFleur watching the tablet on the sidelines of the Monday Night Football game with the Philadelphia Eagles. Not sure what he was watching, but I have to ask you guys, what's your go-to binge show when you need that distraction from your job? I'm going to start with Conrad.
I've seen this TV series nine times through now, and it's How I Met Your Mother. It is my favorite go-to.
Legendary. We move to Gray.
Great British Baking Show. It is the best kind of feel good, and there's just the right amount of sass. As far as what LaFleur was doing, though, those hand motions would have looked completely random to anybody who's never played Angry Birds 2, Jimmy. But let me tell you, those birds in the second edition are really complicated, and you got to keep controlling them after you release the band. We'll talk about it off the show.
I thought it was Fruit Ninja, so that was my guess. Parker, what are we watching?
Oh, I'm probably watching some kind of Star Wars show. I think I could do with Andor. I'm really in a been on an Andor mood lately, and you know what? I think Matt LaFleur, he was probably doing scratch-offs on his tablet trying to find somebody who could revive the Packer offense.
Yeah, pull tabs would be my go-to in that scenario. I just finished up the One Piece on Netflix. I finally caught up on that, which was awesome. All right, let's get to the sports stuff. Number six in our top seven at seven, and this is kind of a two-parter. Five and six are kind of slammed together. I'm going to start with this. How concerned are you about the Bucks and all their injuries? There's been a lot of injury news coming out this week from Milwaukee. Conrad, what's your level of concern?
I mean, without Giannis, the Bucks are nothing. Let's just be honest. They lost to the Hornets. They could lose to him again if Giannis isn't healthy. And they got to lean on Miles Turner, which, I mean, he's proved to be kind of a disappointment so far this year. So without Giannis, I don't see him going anywhere. And I think they need Kevin Porter back as well.
Torian Prince, we found out this week as well at a news release that he is out indefinitely with a herniated disc in his neck. Speaking of pain, number five in the top seven at seven. Same question, but about the Packers. How concerned are you about the Packers and all of their injuries? Starting with Parker.
I'm pretty concerned. I really don't know what this offensive line is going to look like for the Packers. I'm not entirely sure that we're going to have a lot of impactful play from Josh Jacobs because of this. He's obviously a big part of that offense. I'm pretty worried.
Gray, I'm sure you have thoughts on Packers and injuries.
Always, always, always. In my case, it's the wide receiver group in particular. It was only Nate Hobbs on the do not participate list for at least most of the week. Christian Watson worryingly did kind of pop up with a knee hamstring issue. But overall, on Thursday specifically, there were five wide receivers on the injury report with one status or another. And only Romeo Doubs was listed as full participant on that day. So that may or may not have been the main reason for the Eagles' loss, was the underperformance and disappearance of wide receivers. So frankly, yeah, that I'm quite concerned depending on who's available that day. It's the shape of our offense right now with no Tucker Kraft.
Number four in the top seven at seven, a Wisconsin win over number two Indiana today would, we're going to fill in the blank here, let's go to Conrad.
Mean nothing. I mean, we already suck. I mean, if it would be cool, I guess.
All right, let's go to Gray.
Wisconsin win over number two Indiana today, Jimmy, would likely result in several arrests related to game fixing and gambling. That, I think, is the most likely result of that, frankly, and it wouldn't take long.
All right, that is the best response, I think, for this question. Parker, I don't know if you can top that.
I thought that you were going in the same direction I was going to go there, Gray. I was going to say that there might be arrests because Madison may burn to the ground if the Badgers True. Find a way to beat Indiana with that defense and their offense. Come on, it's no.
State Street like Halloween was 2 weeks ago, so I don't know. They didn't have their practice run this year, right?
That's true.
All right. Number three, top seven at seven. When would you be ready to move on from Matt LaFleur? The talk all week, and it seems like we were firing Luke Fickell last week. Now we're firing Matt LaFleur this week in Wisconsin sports fandom. So, Conrad, when would you be ready to?
I mean, I'm not ready yet. I mean, he's still a good coach. He just, you know, maybe just take a look at the playbook again. That's it. You know, don't run an inside zone RPO on, you know, fourth and two and when we need points. But, you know, I'll say I still believe in him.
Gray, are you a believer?
100%. And, you know, if you're not, what I'd want you to do is just Google real quickly the all-time winning percentage list for NFL coaches. There are only about 200 coaches ever to coach 50 games or more. It's about three seasons, always has been, at least in the recent history of the NFL. Matt LaFleur is the 14th winningest coach ever by winning percentage in among qualifying coaches ever. You don't get rid of that. If you fire him today, he's got five offers yesterday. The Titans are going to eat him up like a good breakfast. I mean, the idea that he's fireable right now after two losses shows how spoiled we are. And I think we need to move on from the mentality of losing Mike McCarthy. That was a very special case. You keep Matt LaFleur and you keep anyone like him.
I'm really enjoying the fact that you guys are pumping the brakes on this because I think the social media discourse has been pretty awful in that regard. Number two in the top seven at seven. Quick question for Parker. If the Brewers could do one thing this offseason to make you happy, what would it be?
Probably just secure some of those younger guys. Caleb Durbin is the first one that comes to my mind, getting Rookie of the Year votes. If they can secure him, I will be happy despite how I may feel about not getting a big star that maybe could be really important, but I like our guys already.
That brings us to our number one question and our top seven at seven. And once again, here in the fall, it is the Packers prediction segment. Packers versus Giants coming up tomorrow. And in 20 seconds or less, we'll get our predictions from the entire panel. Parker, we're going to send it right back to you. Your predictions for the Packers game.
I think that the Packers are going to find a little bit of a stride in the passing game. I'm expecting Jordan Love to get let loose a little bit. Let Love loose, please, Matt LaFleur. I need it. I'm expecting a couple of passing touchdowns. I want to see more Luke Musgrave as well. I've got a Packer win by 10 points.
Let's go to Conrad in Green Bay, who's got a front row seat to all of this.
I'm going to say 31-14 Packers. Jame Eas is a starting quarterback over there. Giants, a Xavier McKinney interception. I'm hoping for a win.
And Gray, your take on the Packers this week?
I like Conrad's conclusions. A two-score victory involving a takeaway is what we should absolutely be capable of. And let me just pump the brakes on what I said a moment ago. I pedestaled Matt LaFleur pretty hard. He's not perfect. Things have gotten quite stale. And when we make the postseason, we exit early. But he wins games, and I expect him to win this one. If we win by less than two scores, then I might be a little angrier.
Well, we're about to hear a lot more about the Packers. Mike Clemens has the breakdown coming up right now here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
The Bucks outlast the Hornets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks held on to beat the Hornets in Milwaukee, 147-134. Doc Rivers says he was surprised the game slipped into overtime.
To shoot 65% and you go in overtime is saying a lot. I thought the second half, I will say this, I thought that our rebounding got way better. I think they had, eight or seven offensive rebounds. I think they had three more for the rest of the game, including overtime. So we solved that problem. But the turnover problem, and I thought, you know, I bet I can count 10 unforced turnovers that we didn't need to have. And we'll clean that up.
The game was part of an NBA Cup series. There were 32 lead changes during the contest. Kyle Kuzma, led Milwaukee with scoring, including four steals and 29 points. And after the win, we caught up with him in a happy Bucks locker room.
You know, that's just a credit to my teammates just finding me and finding me on cuts and finding me in transition and stuff like that.
That being said, though, why do you think tonight was your best game yet as a Buck?
Well, I mean, you can say that just because, you know, probably the 29 points. You know, the ball came to me a lot, but like I told you, I'm a little more excited about the four steals. I don't think I've ever had too many games with four steals in my career. So, you know, just playing sound basketball.
The Hornets' Con Knuppel, who grew up in Milwaukee, led Wisconsin Lutheran High to a state championship, had a season-high 32 points for Charlotte. The Bucks host the Lakers tonight. Men's college hockey, last night in Madison. The Badgers losing at home to the powerhouse Ohio State Buckeyes, 5-1. And for just a moment, early in the third period, head coach Mike Hastings says he thought they were on their way to a masterpiece.
We had some opportunities we did not capitalize, and they're a good team when they're in front. Let's not say that was Mona Lisa, but it got behind them. And we got some juice in the building, and I didn't think we took advantage of that.
The Badgers women's volleyball team with a three-set sweep on the road against Michigan State. Wisconsin, ranked 11th in the nation, has now won four in a row, and they are 19-4 for the season. College football, Wisconsin with a tough task today. They're in Bloomington to take on the number 2 ranked football team in the nation, the undefeated Indiana Hoosiers. They kick off this morning at 11 a.m. NFL, Packers heading to New York to play the 2-8 Giants tomorrow afternoon at noon at MetLife Stadium. Brian Daboll, who was named the NFL Coach of the Year in 2022, got fired this week after the Giants blew a 2-score lead in the fourth quarter and lost to the Bears in Chicago. Now, the interim head coach, Mike Kafka, former NFL quarterback, has decided to start Jameis Winston over Russell Wilson at quarterback tomorrow. Winston, on what he sees on tape of the Packers' highly rated defense.
I see they traded for Michael Parsons, and they already had a good defensive end in Gary. I feel like number 95, Wyatt, is a great defensive lineman, a productive offense. But their defense is a true bend but don't break defense. I think this is one of the fastest defenses that we've seen in terms of how they run to the football. They're high energy. And they're very sound. And as a defense, when you know what you're doing, you can, you know, rep the plays that you have seen against you the whole year and play fast and play together.
Packers safety Xavier McKinney, who was originally drafted by the Giants, was asked after losing two games now back-to-back at Lambeau if this game is a must-win for Green Bay.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a must-win. I think we put ourselves kind of in a sticky situation, but it is what it is. Things happen. Obviously, everything don't go always as planned that you want it to go sometimes, but you got to make do with the circumstances that you have and the type of environment that it is. So that's just what it is.
On the injury report, wide receiver Matthew Golden is questionable. He's been dealing with a shoulder injury. Defensive end Lucas Van Ness, who injured his right foot after a quarterback sack against the Bengals, was back on the practice field this week for the first time since mid-October. He's listed as questionable, and I asked him how he's coming along.
Just working with the training staff and the coaches and, you know, just going day by day and seeing how I feel and react to practice. And, you know, it's been a long 5 weeks, but just been really exciting to get back on the field and get back out there with the guys and just getting a routine again, hoping by Sunday we can come to a decision.
So you make the sack in the Bengals.
Yeah. When I came around the corner and I went to wrap up Flacco, I kind of just got my foot stepped on and kind of bent it the wrong way. Luckily, walked away without needing any surgery, anything too serious. Was ultimately hoping it would be, you know, a couple-week thing. And it's, you know, unfortunately turned into, I think we're on week 5 now. But again, just, you know, been week to week. And at this point, you know, getting healthier, able to be back on my feet again and just going day to day and hoping to be out there helping this team soon.
That's Packers defensive end Lucas Van Ness. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thanks, Mike. Coming up on Make the Call today, we're going to be joined by Madison College men's soccer coach Logan Fye. He's got the Wolfpack in the national championships, which begin tomorrow. Jake Kokorowski from BadgerObserver.com will join me, and we'll have on later the roundtable talking Packers-Giants. And we'll also preview all 8 state football championship games in high school in Wisconsin. We'll be back with Make the Call next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Indeed, it is your Saturday morning sports fix across the vast Civic Media News Talk Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, and in this segment, I'm happy to be joined by Madison College men's soccer coach Logan Fye. Coach, congratulations on an undefeated season to this point and our Region 4 championship, as well as earning the Coach of the Year in Region 4. It's got to be exciting for you that you've made it to this point in the season.
Yeah, pretty exciting. I think the vibe around campus, everyone's congratulating and wishing us well. So I think things are busy and chaotic as we plan and get rolling here. But I think at the same time, the congratulatory remarks are appreciated, but we know we still have something to prove. We're going down to Wichita, Kansas for an opportunity to compete for a national championship and, continue our unbeaten season, which is pretty special to make it 19 matches into a college season and yet to have a loss. And some of the achievements, some of the stats that we've put out there have been really amazing to see. Credit to the guys for putting in a ton of work over the course of this season. But I think it's something that I keep saying, especially to the amount of alumni that were able to be at the match and, be able to experience that with us is, this program has been around a long time, and in my opinion, it's been a long time coming for this program to make it this far. So it's a real accomplishment that's shared by everyone who's come before, and then obviously those that are here in present time. We have to do those that came before us proud while we continue this run going. So yeah, it's exciting to be a part of this, to be obviously at the helm of it. But I know that all the credit goes to those that are involved and those that have come before us.
Seen a lot of progression in the sport in the high school ranks over the last 10 or 15 years, especially outside of the Milwaukee suburbs. It's really grown in other parts of the state to the north and west. Also, just in the city of Madison, by bringing in Forward Madison and then seeing some of the facility updates they've done with that and just the awareness of the sport overall. Have you seen that with your program as well, just in terms of even recruiting, but just overall with the sport, just people being more aware about the sport and how has that helped your program as again, more people are finding their way to it?
Yeah. The best part I can say is I think social media in today's world has become such a huge aspect of college sports and, of any youth or pro or college organization when it comes to that, just for outreach, just for exposure. And I think if you compared, our social media game to our opponents or to even other, four-year schools around the state, I think we do a really good job. And I think that's a way that we can increase the microscope into who we are, what we do, how we're doing. I think it's just something that, prior to my time here, I think it was overlooked as a way to really, give the proper acknowledgement of the players and of the program itself. So I think, we do a good job as a staff on that. I think our athletic department does a good job on that. Whether it's interviews, whether it's, things behind the scene. We also, this year especially, highlighted a hire of a multimedia specialist is a former player of mine that we brought on staff and a paid position to do a lot of photography, videography work. And, he's putting together some outstanding videos that we'll be able to share at the end of our seasons. And I think that's just a way that, we can continue the growth of the sport, continue the growth of Madison College and specifically our program. And top players around not only Wisconsin, but, the Midwest, the country, and then abroad. If you look at our roster, we have players from all over the place. And for them to be able to see who we are and what we do by just clicking, on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, that's just a great way that we can utilize when it comes to recruitment, but also to give some, lifelong memories that can be taken from the players involved as well. So yeah, something that we definitely think is a big priority for us.
Talking to Logan Fye, who's the head soccer coach at Madison College. Well, let's talk about this year's squad. As you talked about, historic year, a great run to the national championships, which begin here next week. Obviously exciting. I could ask you what you're excited for. I think all of it, probably, right? It's a good, easy answer. But for you, just going in, what's the prep like? What's it like getting your team prepared to play these matches coming up here in the national championship?
Yeah, definitely guys are on top of the world right now. But I think at the same time, when you look at the overall seeding process and such and where we got grouped, I think there still is that chip on our shoulder. And we felt that all season long when it came to national rankings. We're the team with the most wins in the country. We're the team that has yet to have a loss in the loss column and also won their district. So, we feel as though we're still slighted in some way. So we're going down there with a point to prove that, a 9 seed, coming out of Region 4, which I think is the the deepest region in the country, is a little bit disrespectful. So I think for us, we're going down there, you know, trying to keep things as normal as possible. But we're not going down there just for funsies. You know, we're going down there to prove that we are a team that is going to be difficult to beat. We're a team that is going to make it tough on our opponents with the way that we play, the intensity that we play, the amount of guys that we play. Depth is a big thing for us. You know, we commonly play somewhere between 18 and 22 guys every game, which is abnormal in the specs of, I think, junior college soccer. So we are, you know, we're someone that I think is going to go down there with the confidence that we can do more than just play. We can do more than just, you know, play two games and get back on the bus. Whether that happens or not, ultimately the game is the game, and soccer is a weird sport sometimes where, you know, sometimes a team can play a certain way and be effective while can play the prettiest soccer and not be effective. And we're going to do whatever it takes to be successful to get ourselves, you know, out of a really difficult group stage against two, you know, really strong and historically strong programs in CCBC, Essex, and Northeast Community College, who won the won it all last year. So we're going down there with, with a point to really showcase Madison College, put us on the map, and, you know, hopefully get some sort of hardware, some trophy to take along with us on the way home.
Coach, good luck in your matches coming up here this week, and I appreciate all your time and learning a lot more about your program. Again, thanks for your time and good luck coming up this week.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
That again, Madison College men's soccer coach Logan Fah, who's also the coach of the women's program, was named Coach of the Year along with his coaching staff in Region 4. They win the championship in that this week. They allowed 0 goals in that tournament in Region 4. Now they head to the national championships, which begin tomorrow afternoon. 5:30 is when Madison College plays its first match in group play. They'll play again Monday at 5:30. In group play. Those two matches will decide where they go. If they have the most points, if they have the best results, they would then play in the semifinals next Thursday with the championship set for next Saturday. You can find all of the information on Madison College's website, including how you can watch and follow along. All right, let's dive into more college sports. Coming up next, Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer previews Wisconsin versus number 2 Indiana, which comes your way in less than 2 hours on the Civic Media Sports Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call here on the Civic Media Sports Radio Network. As you heard the big voice guy say, it is indeed Make the Call, which you hear every Saturday morning here from 7 to 8 on the Civic Media family of stations in the News Talk Network. I'm joined by Jake Kokorowski for our Campus Connection segment as we head to Madison and talk about the Badgers. And we're going to talk football because the game is coming up on our airwaves here in about 90 minutes, our pregame show, as Wisconsin takes on Indiana, second-ranked in the nation. Before we talk about the matchup, Jake, I want to go back to last week because Wisconsin getting a top 25 win this year probably wasn't on a bingo card anywhere at this stage, but they got it done. And I think that it has quieted at least the fire surrounding the social media hot takes on everything going on with the coaching and everything else happening there with Wisconsin. It was a pretty big win for them last week.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thanks for having me on, Jimmy. It's something that, coming off a second bye week, a second week off, and welcoming, Washington had a really high-powered offense, and you can thank partially the elements, the rain, sleet, snow, cold. There's some injuries that Washington was dealing with too, but, I mean, it's one thing where you have the defense stepping up huge with, Mason Reiger, just with his pressures, the outside linebacker, and then you have, like, two freshman linebackers in Cooper Catalano and Mason Simposo who got weekly awards for their efforts and, in racking up, it was over 30 tackles altogether, and Cooper Catalano having 19 of them. And so, it was a good win, and, and it was a rough offensive effort again, but you saw special teams and you saw defense step up. That's all you can, that's what it took in those elements, and kind of reminded me of, just what old school Wisconsin football was.
Well, and it's always exciting when freshmen step up big like they did too. And they got a couple of awards in the Big Ten this week as a result for that. It's encouraging at least that we're not talking about the negatives. We're focusing on a pretty major positive for this program.
It is. And I mean, that's what Luke Fickell and Director of Recruiting Pat Lambert can, hang their hat on with this program. They have recruited well at Wisconsin. Catalano and Osa really show, I think it goes to this part where these freshmen can develop early. And they've been called upon. And yeah, Christian Olego's been injured. But, you've seen Mason Posley, you've seen Cooper Catalano work into the defensive and get reps throughout the season. And now they're starting. And You have to tip the cap to Luke Fickell and the staff for finding the right pieces with this 2025 class, where you're seeing Catalano, Bosa, Carter Smith at quarterback, Eugene Hilton Jr. at wide receiver, and others right now in the two deep and contributing.
If the Badgers were to beat Indiana today, what would it mean for the program?
It would. You talk about, you know, Washington being a top 25 team, being like not on the bingo card. It may be on paper. I was kind of wondering about Indiana because, you know, Kurt Cignetti did a great job, but he brought a lot of, you know, pieces over from James Madison, right? Well, they also brought in, you know, Fernando or Mendoza, the quarterback from Indiana, who's at Cal. And now he's a Heisman contender. So if they would somehow win, which I am not predicting, it would be monumental. And I think that's when you could be like, this is the turning point for Wisconsin football. That's what it would mean, because you go into number two Indiana's house and you beat them in Bloomington. It would take a lot in terms of defensive pressure, creating turnovers, playing as clean of football as you can against a team that does not beat itself. But it would mean the true turning point in my eyes if Luke Fickell and Wisconsin go into Bloomington and knock off number two Indiana.
Jake, thank you for your time. It's great to get your insights this week. Looking forward to the Badgers game coming up here. Pregame show starting in about 90 minutes from now on many of these same stations. Thank you, Jake.
Hey, thanks. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks, Jake. And now that we're all set for Wisconsin and Indiana, pregame show coming up in just over an hour from now across many of these Civic Media stations. That coverage, again, coming up at 9 a.m. on several Civic Media stations and on the Civic Media app. We could talk a little more college football this week. And as we do in our WIAC Weekly feature, a chance to talk with Parker Olson, who has covered UW-Whitewater for a number of years. And of course, myself, being on the D3 football top 25 poll, and also someone who's covering a whole heck of a lot of WIAC football this year, and other sports too. I have done four sports in the last like 7 days. I've done wrestling, soccer, basketball, and football. So I'm getting the wide range of sports being covered in the conference, but I want to talk about football, Parker, specifically, because the conference has something that they could do this year that in college football is almost unheard of. Half of the conference very plausibly could be in the NCAA tournament. And I find that to be just incredibly amazing. The move to 40 teams in the Division III field has set us up for this opportunity where now the top half of the conference could very well be in the postseason tournament.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't really think that's that much of an exaggeration of how good they are. Like, I think those four teams are all legitimately probably four of the top 40 best teams in Division III football, and maybe even higher up than 40, let's be honest. A lot of really good teams in the WIAC. I think River Falls, you can expect them to not only probably blow the doors off a Stout this week or today, but you're probably going to expect a pretty deep run from them. I'm thinking they might have semifinal potential. Other teams in the WIAC that are looking at getting into the playoffs, La Crosse, they're pretty hurt right now. I think that Kyle Haas will be back when postseason comes around. As quarterback for them, I'm not sure that they've got a very deep run for them. Same goes for Whitewater. I don't think they're going to go maybe quarterfinals is what I'm guessing there. And who's that last one I'm forgetting? When there's four teams, you can only remember so many of them.
That's because you have to hashtag swing the axe with UW-Platteville, number 11 in the NPI. They also enter the postseason tournament a little banged up, but they did get Zach Bothan back last week. They have Eau Claire today. Eau Claire has not been super competitive this year, but the last time that Platteville went there, it was tense for the first half because the Blue Golds can force turnovers, and that's one thing that's kind of gotten away from a bit this year, but they do have a lot of athletes. So you mentioned the four teams are all in the top 20 of the NPI entering today. That won't change if they all win. But what it does mean is that the fifth place team will still be in the postseason if that does play out. And the fifth place team, whether it's Oshkosh or Stout, will be playing in the Culver's Isthmus Bowl a week from today. We'll actually talk about that bowl game a week from today here on Make the Call with Mike Shaw, who directs the bowl game. We'll take a look at other WIAC sports on our digital channels and more on that coming up, but those are all turning towards the NCAA tournament as well. We welcome back to our roundtable today Conrad Krieger, who is in Green Bay, and Greg Gunderson, who is in Park Falls, along with Parker Olson in Madison. I'm Jimmy Cuska in Boscobel, so we've got kind of the four corners of the state sort of covered here. But we were going to spend some time just going through the Packers, because what felt like This season that was trending towards, you know, a deep playoff run has now all of a sudden got to turn on its head with losses. The last couple of weeks, the Panthers loss, I think probably even more frustrating than the Eagles loss on Monday Night Football. Eagles are a good team. You sort of expect that that's going to be close and competitive, but it just feels like the vibes are off right now in Green Bay. And I'm going to lead into that with Conrad, who is in Green Bay. The Packers right now, It just feels like ahead of a very difficult remaining schedule that there are some things to correct ahead of some of these upcoming games.
You know, I will say that Eagles game, our defense looked fantastic that whole game. And, you know, it really makes me angry when I see all these social media comments of trying to blame just one person, and it's on the whole offense. I think the whole offense needs to, you know, get together, make some changes to the play calls, make better throws, and make better catches for sure. But I think going forward, we just need to play better offense.
I would echo something pretty similar, but in the particular case of the offensive line, which actually is now maybe settled for the year. We lost Elgton Jenkins for the year, but I'll never say an injury is better than what came before it, but we might end up seeing better O-line play now that we've solidified with Sean Ryan filling in at center as he did to finish the game against the Eagles. But we've got to see better receiver play in particular, hopefully because everybody's there and uninjured. As far as stats go, the Giants are bottom of the pack just about anywhere you look. They're allowing the fourth most yards per game, the sixth most points per game. So our offense, if they're ever going to have a get right moment before one of the toughest six stretches involving five divisional games that I've ever seen ever, the Ravens are lurking on that. Like it's going to get nasty if we don't get right in Jersey on Sunday. Both teams, the Packers and the Giants, only have six takeaways this season. The key to the game, though, only the Giants have Jameis Winston, and I need him to be famous Jameis. I need him to do everything he does. I hope he eats three W's in his pregame speech, because that's exactly what the Packers need out of him. Two takeaways, and that would lock the game down, because even our offense, the way it has been played, couldn't underperform in that situation.
Oh, I love Jameis Winston. He's such a guy. Let me tell you, he is America's sweetheart. Let's just be honest, guys.
The greatest city in the world.
That's a Hamilton reference, y'all. I absolutely love it. Gray, I think you hit the nail on the head that those turnovers are going to be really important. And I think that's something that maybe that we've missed focusing on a little bit here of late. Packer defense has obviously been pretty spectacular throughout the year, minus maybe a 40-point game against the Cowboys, but whatever. Besides from that, they've been very good, but yeah, turnovers, they've got to happen. I think that's really going to help offense. That can provide that spark that a Green Bay offense really needs. Matt LaFleur, his offense, they need to figure something out. I'm kind of in the camp that LaFleur needs to either give up play calling, or he needs to figure out how to let Jordan Love just do what he does. For the first couple of seasons, we were hearing all these comparisons about how Jordan Love looks so much like Aaron Rodgers and so much like Brett Favre. I think we need to embrace how much he looks like Brett Favre and not how much he looks like Aaron Rodgers, because Favre, he was the gunslinger. I think that's more of what you get with Jordan Love, not so much with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was, I'm going to take care of the football. I'm going to throw four interceptions in a season and you're going to like it. Okay. I think that they just need to let Love loose, let him play. The Packers offense is significantly better, and I think the wide receivers will rise to the occasion when that happens.
The one thing that has me especially agreeing with you, Parker, is exactly what happened at the end of that Eagles game. Inside zone this way, inside zone this way. We've all seen the clip, but here's the thing. There's about three things that should happen when that occurs, and none of them are proceed with the play as called when that defender is correct. I mean, audible at the line, call a timeout. There were two at the time. There were so many options that weren't that. They took none of them. So, like I said earlier, he is one of the winningest coaches of all time, but we do need an update, a shock to the system, a refresh of some kind, maybe in the form of a different play caller. But keep the core team intact and just shake it up a bit somehow, and let Gutekunst figure out how on that one.
You know, surprisingly, at the end of that game, we did have a chance, and who came up there and totally whiffed that field goal? That was probably the worst field goal I've ever seen in my life. Why Why is he still playing? I don't get it. Gray, what do you think?
I've been wondering more and more by the day, and I just have to assume there is a reason that's just not public knowledge right now, Conrad. I'm wondering too, because Haversick is still rostered. Is he active rostered? I think he's on the 53 right now. Like, they're using a spot for him, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, either way, they're keeping him available and could elevate him if he is practice squad. Either way, he's clearly capable of a greater distance field goal than McManus has been since he came back from injury. And at this point, I'm beginning to not care about $15 million over 3 years or whatever that was. It just, there's no more excuses. If you want to look at it that way, I never like boiling it down to one player or one play per game, but we've lost 30 to 39 in our three losses. That's 3 points per game. And each one had enough missed field goals to account for those point differentials. So I'm going a little bit nuts here. If I keep seeing Brandon McManus and he keeps missing, yeah, Conrad, big old IDK, man, but oh, I'm starting to steam.
You're right, though. Let's be honest. You're
right. Bring in the sub.
Yeah.
Packers are getting set for the Giants that is coming up tomorrow, and that is ahead of a very, very difficult final part of the schedule. We have a lot of time to break all of that down, but getting set for Packers-Giants coming up tomorrow on many of these same Civic Media stations. Big thanks to all of you for joining the show today. Parker and Conrad and Gray, great to have your insights on all things sports here for the week. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the rest of the week. And hopefully when we join the show next week, we're all in better moods and we're all healed from our injuries from the from prior maladies, guys. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy. Heal
back, go.
All right. Coming up next, we are going to preview the state football championship field. 8-player title game is later today. The 11-player finals are set, which 14 teams and 11-player are playing for the 7 state titles. We'll tell you about it next year on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
In our final segment, we are talking about high school football and the state championships that are set in all 8 divisions of football across the great state of Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Thank you for joining us here on Make the Call. Well, we aren't broadcasting any of these games because none of the games involve schools that are in our markets for the most part, where we do have the robust high school sports coverage. However, it does not mean we do not care about what's happening in the state finals. This is the culminating championship event for the fall sports. There is swimming and diving today as well. We'll talk about that near the end of the segment. But first, let's go through the 8 divisions of football. Let's start with 8-player football. The championship is being held later today at 1 o'clock at Southwood County Stadium in Wisconsin Rapids. The matchup features McDonnell out of Chippewa Falls, 11-1 on the year. They'll be taking on Gilman, which is 12-0 and undefeated. Matchup of a couple of schools that are only separated about a probably 40-minute drive, maybe even a little less than that, depending on which way you go. But you've got Gilman one county over from Chippewa County. This is truly a Chippewa Valley matchup. So the 8-player championship today happening at 1 o'clock. Let's talk about the 11-player championships. There are 7 of them, and there are several results to go over from last night. So let's start with Division 7 and the 2 finals there. One of the finals was held at Stoughton, and it was Kenosha St. Joseph defeating last year's Division 7 runner-up Potosi Cassville by a final score of 28-0. So the Kenosha St. Joseph squad will be taking on Cochrane Fountain City, which had an interesting road to get to this point. They had to get to double overtime to knock off Lourdes Academy, which is based in Oshkosh. Cochrane Fountain City in Western Central Wisconsin wins 17-14 on a double overtime field goal to make it to the state championship. Let's move on up to Division 6, and this is going to be a matchup of 2 perennial powerhouses this year, as Darlington blew out Manitowoc Lutheran 37-3, and they'll be facing multi-time defending state champion Edgar in Division 6, 21-14 winners over a very, very good Mondovi squad. That game played at Stanley Boyd High School. So your D6 matchup is Darlington and Edgar. Division 5 features a couple of good upstart programs this year. You've got Northwestern making it back to state for the first time since I was in elementary school, but Northwestern took down a defending champion Stratford 22-13, getting a late touchdown at Chi High in the Chippewa Valley to pull ahead in the final couple of minutes and win that one 22-13. And their reward will be taking on Mayville. They defeated Lake Country Lutheran, game played at Slinger, 27-15. And in Division 4, this will be the nightcap for the first day of the state championship. Division 4 championships tend to be a little bit odd. In the matchup this year, I don't know if anybody actually predicted, but Little Chute defeated Columbus 35-25. They'll be on one side of the bracket, and on the other, it'll be Winneconne as they took down Baldwin Woodville, previously undefeated, 28-8. So Winneconne and Little Chute will be playing in an all-Eastern Wisconsin championship game. That game will be the nightcap in Division 4. Division 3 starts out with a very, very, very interesting matchup, as it'll feature a number of Division 1 college prospects. On one side, you've got Grafton. They, in the final moments, took down Catholic Memorial on a late touchdown grab. Grafton defeating Catholic Memorial, the perennial power and multi-time state champion in both the WISA and the WIAA, 34-31, playing at Oconomowoc High School. And they'll be facing a 4-seed in the playoff bracket. Reedsburg defeated 8th-seeded Whitefish Bay, 43-20. So Reedsburg is back to the state championship game, and I couldn't say it without escaping this segment, but a huge congratulations to friend of this program and every program I've been on, Travis Wilson of Bound, Wisconsin, formerly, of course, at wisports.net. Travis is one of the coaches at Reedsburg, and his sons are players there. So congrats to Reedsburg for making it to the state championship in Division 3. In Division 2, it'll be Notre Dame. They are no strangers to the state championship game. They were able to blow out River Falls 42-6 to get to the D2 championship, and awaiting them will be a very good West DePere squad, a team that likes to throw the ball everywhere, and they got a 1-point victory over Homestead, a perennial power, 35-34 in a game played at Nina High School. So West DePere on to the finals with one of the top passing attacks in the state. And Division 1 is a heavyweight championship match that I think that everybody will recognize the two schools here. In Arrowhead, a 2-point winner over Wanakee had a late fourth down play not go their way. So Arrowhead wins and moves on after winning that game at Madison Memorial High School, 19-17. And then on the other side of that matchup will be Bayport. They defeat Muskego 38-35. I tell you what, the division final four, any two of those four teams going to state, you're talking about four huge, huge programs in the state of Wisconsin in terms of legacy and what they've been able to do over the years. A combined 5 points deciding the two semifinals, and I would imagine that a Bayport-Arrowhead final is going to end up the same way, a very, very close game. All seven state championship football games are being played at Camp Randall Stadium. Divisions 4 through 7 are played on Thursday coming up this week, and then on Friday, Divisions 3 through 1 will play as well. And just again, a reminder that an 8-player championship is coming your way later today. That's in Wisconsin Rapids at 1 o'clock, but those are your 8 state football championship games that are coming up. Again, no broadcast coverage by Civic Media, but we will have plenty of features in local markets talking about those teams coming up next week. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll hear from all of the coaches as well, and we'll have all of that coming your way across the Civic Media family of stations. Not the only championships happening. There is also coming up later today the girls swimming and diving state finals, as that will be happening in Waukesha at Waukesha South in the Natatorium. That began last night, and then we'll have more coming up here later today. You can follow all of those events on the WIAA website, WIAAWI.org. That action actually begins here at 8:30 this morning. The doors will open. The diving competition begins at 9:30, so a little later this morning, and then the swimming time finals are this afternoon at 2:30, again at Waukesha South in the Natatorium. You can, again, go to WIAAWI.org and find information, including live streams of the event. The football finals, by the way, are going to be broadcast on TV this week, so you can find your local listings and see where you can find all of those things. A big thanks to Madison College men's soccer coach Logan Fye for joining me. A big thanks as well to Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer. To the panel, Conrad Krieger, Parker Olson, and Greg Gunderson, thank you as well. We'll have more Make the Call coming up next week right here on Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.